Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Dano. Now, we don't actually have Paddo this week, but I think we've got a bit of an upgrade. I'm gonna set the scene here. Supercoach veteran actually has gone all the way and won the ultimate glory in Supercoach back in 2022. It's none other than Jean-Paul, aka JP, aka J. Peterman, as he is known as on X, formerly known as Twitter. Welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, in your presence, I am wonderful. It's probably something really good for our listeners because we haven't actually had a winner on our podcast yet, so you're the first one. And it'd just be nice to pick your brain a little bit on the potty, and obviously we have a fair bit of banter and whatnot, so swear all you like because I'll be fucking doing it the whole time. And just give us your thoughts.
Perfect. Thanks for having me on. It's good to get on and have a chat. Jay Peterman is just a Seinfeld reference, by the way. It's got nothing to do with who I am.
Well, if you, how can people find you on Twitter, that sort of thing?
Yeah, as Jay Peterman, but my name's JP. Jean-Paul.
What a name. So we'll start off with another good name, not as good as Jean-Paul, but it's our group winner's name, Finn, and his team name is The Guzzler. We've had some ripper team names so far winning the group weekly. So Finn's team, The Guzzler, had a pretty sick defense that actually carried his team all throughout the week with Ash and Whitfield combo, Jack Sinclair, Clark, and Holmes all in defense. Like, you can't ask for much more than that. The Humor Cluggage VC got Brayshaw in there, Noah Anderson, Will Ashcroft, Max Gorn, Nick Martin, Shea Bolton. Like, huge, huge score. So, shout out to Finn there.
Bit of a pod team there.
Yeah, well, a lot of players that we told to buy in low, and obviously it's paid off for Finn there. So, yeah, but we'll go on to our own at the moment. And Mr. Jean-Paul, like, what? How's your team tracking? People would love to know. Obviously, not going as good as 2022. Like, you literally can't beat unless you go number one again. But this year, with all of the weird intricacies and cash gen issues, how's your team tracking?
I'm tracking okay. Had a pretty average week round one and slowly tracking back from there. You know, burning through the trades. I like to trade out a non-playing rookie every week and tend to bring one in every week as well. So they last a week or two. Looking a bit more value-wise at the moment, I don't think we're going to have enough cash to go uber primo throughout. So basically just trying to get things as good as possible without carrying the rookies anymore.
Yeah, that tends to be the way with everyone at the moment. And you'll find on this podcast, especially this week, listeners, we're focusing on the more value picks because, let's face it, the rookie crisis has been real for ages. Last round, I'll go on to my team. Last round, I scored 1,905, which is better than the previous round. Look, I've got a bit of a POD team myself. And so I ended up dropping 3,500 places the previous week, and then I've made myself back up 2,365 places. So my season rank's gone back to 4,762. It's really shattering that 1 week, the previous week, just let me down, but back up this week. And look, for listeners and for yourself, Paddo generally likes to plan for the buyers, and I'm that guy that doesn't, and I'll just trade in people and it somehow works out. And again, this year I've been kissed on the dick. My buy structures, without even thinking about it, has worked out well. So how are you going for buy structure?
I look at it about 5 weeks prior. I sort of pick the players I want to pick regardless of the buy, and then I'll try and work through it a little bit. With five buys, I'm not as fussed. Like, you're obviously going to get hit 1 week, but I figure a lot of people are making trades, you know, pretty early in the season, so people aren't going to be doing huge sideways trades throughout buys, so not a great deal of movement. So, you know, you're going to make it up in round 14 if you have a bad round 12. So swings and roundabouts, I just let it play out.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, We'll go on to the injuries and suspensions. I had to quickly update this just before we started because a major one just came in before. But we'll start off with Callan Ward, done his ACL, season done. It'll make way for another rookie to come through, but like Callahan's now 1 to 2 weeks away, which is a lot quicker return than what we expected. The Giants need to try something, and a lot of the youngsters are actually getting rested. So could we see James Leak come back? Again, listeners, you guys know I'm not the biggest fan of Leak, and I've said in preseason, don't bring him in. Don't get sucked in if he is brought in again, because he'll just go straight back out.
Yeah, he wasn't good for me either.
Yeah, look, with the Giants rookies and the Giants players, listen to me, don't get Leak. Not this year, maybe further down the line. Mateus Philippou, he did his calf, got subbed out, but they've come out and said that it's on the minor end, so he might only just miss a week, they reckon.
Did it at training, didn't he, before the actual game, so a bit of an odd decision to play him, I think.
Yeah, that is really weird, but again, we're dealing with Ross Lyon, so you never freaking know what's going through his head. Aiden Johnson's bump on Nasiah Wanganeen-Miller has got him 2 games, so that's not the greatest. I know a few people had him in as a rookie option. Stiff shit. now, we've got... This is Carl Warner from Frio. Out with hammy awareness, and he is aware that he does have hamstrings, but apparently is ruling him out. Don't know how long for, might only be a week or two.
He got subbed out, didn't he? And then he looked a bit proppy on it.
Yeah, correct. And like you've got other Frio rookies, some that we shall not name because it's frustrating when they're sub all those weeks and then they finally play a nice game and get in the 90s, but you don't have them. Pat Lipinski, concussion. And Lockie Schultz with his minor hammy. So two Collingwood players there ruled out. Obviously, Lipinski with the concussion protocols. Sometimes they play out a little bit longer. Other times, it's just the standard amount of days. Schultz, minor hammy. Don't know how long that's going to be. There's no real official time frame on that. Have you heard anything by any chance?
I haven't actually, no. It's good for our boy Ned Long with Lipinski out. I think he's doing well enough on his own, to be honest, but...
Look, Ned Long, this is the reason why I think the sub rule should be abolished because that man would have been in my team. And we even spoke about him when he was looking to pop off. I would have brought him in. Shit happens. Like, he's been probably the best out of all of them. He's earned about 255K. So.
Was he sub at Hawthorn a few times back in?
Yeah, I believe so.
Might have cost him a career at Hawthorn, to be honest, the sub rule.
Yeah, well, they've got a lot of big-bodied mids at Hawks anyway, but like Collingwood needed him. Yeah, he's a monster. So, look, Collingwood's reaping the rewards. I don't know how they just continually find mature players.
I hate it.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's like Sydney back in the day, and Geelong just keeps somehow doing it.
Carlton can do it one day.
Oh, yeah, probably. Carlton need anything they can get. Answorth got a snipe hit by Durham, but should be fine according to the coach. But his teammate, this is the one that came in just before we started recording, Kitty Coleman, he's done his quad and he's going to be out for approximately 5 weeks. And it is shit time because Jean-Paul, I actually traded in Kitty Coleman early, got his 70. I did. I took a risk. I took a punt. As listeners know, when I say I'm going to do something, I do it. And I said I was going to go early on him because the rookies were shit and it's backfired hardcore. So he's just been sitting there. I'm probably going to have to ride him out through the buys.
At least he hasn't been losing cash like Trainer.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's just a bit of an annoying one because he's like an overpriced rookie in the 260K range or whatever he is.
You're going to get him Mills?
Get another week's worth of data out of Mills, don't we?
I think so, but if you're desperate.
Yeah. Yeah, if desperate, but look, we can sort that out later. But I'll probably ride him out this week. But anyway, speaking of overpriced rookies and whatnot, we'll actually go to rookies to look at. There's 3 that I've identified for this week. One of them's a bit of a weird one, but I'll explain why I've brought him up. The other 2 are the standard ones. So the first one is Pedler from the Crows, aka the Pedlerphile. He is 151K. He's forward status only. Got a 67 on the weekend, got a 73 average, minus 56 break even. Now, I got an absolute write-up from one of my Crows mates about this bloke, and apparently it's just his body has been the issue. They love the intensity that he brings. He's like that little burst player, and you just get out of his way when he's cannonballing through. The only thing that they said to watch out for is if Dan Curtin gets pushed back to the forward line.
The old beef curtain.
Yeah, we might see maybe Pedler's fighting for his spot there, but at the moment it is sound. So it's really a Dan Curtin watch for Pedler. But like, are you bringing in Pedler? Are you going to skip him? What are you going to do?
I've had a bit of a look. It's an awkward price, but he's playing for his career, I think. Well, yeah, according to maybe not the inside, but if they love him internally, you know, he's really struggled to cement a spot, and he's in and out of a team. It's sort of now or never, really, I think, with him.
Yeah, and like that could be good for a patch. We don't need him to play the whole season. We just need him to get those games out.
Need a chunk of five, don't you?
Yeah, realistically, yeah. Now, I call this next bloke Despacito because his name is Dewa. He's also 151K, but he's a mid-forward. West Coast Eagles got the 51 on the weekend. Now, this is why this is a weird one. 37.9 average, 33 break-even. The only reason we're in a desperate rookie crisis, but a rookie that is starting to get kick-ins.
Yeah, I like that as well.
How long is it going to last? I don't know, but you look at the Ryan Marrick complete change of role.
How many have they had kicking out this year?
Oh, yeah, that's another good
problem,
point.
Isn't it? There's been Dublin.
But I think he had about six kick-ins and five play-ons.
It certainly helps.
Yeah, so look, the 33 break-even isn't screaming pick me. If he goes and pops off for like a 90-something, I think he goes up about 25K or so, or 30K. So then he'll be up the higher end of your... He'd be like a premium rookie, the higher end just below 200K, so...
You don't mind it after a decent game, though, do you?
No, you don't. You just want to be there for that decent game, and that's what you're hoping for. But he's not going to be on your field. That's the thing. Like, if you're looking to bring him in, you're likely going to be playing him either at flex or on your bench.
Yeah, just might have him for the next few weeks.
Yeah, so, like, he's had the sub vest a fair few times, but, yeah, he looks like he's getting a clean run at it, and he's playing in defence. So,
on my end, I think, but... Worth a shout.
The other one is Clark from the Bombers. This is a 114K defender who's really playing up forward. Got a 44 on the weekend, 70.5 average, minus 73 break even. Now, I did say last week we needed to cool our jets on this bloke and get another week of data. We got that week of data, but as I said, he's not going to go to the soaring heights that he did in that first week.
You're not going to get three, are you, every week?
No, exactly. And with that, we've got to expect his scoring is going to fluctuate. But I'm saying don't expect any consistency. It's just a warm body, but he may stay in the team. I still don't trust Brad Scott in the slightest. He's becoming the new Bevo.
He's been playing on the wing, has he?
Let me double check. I thought it was more forward, but rotating onto the wing. Let's look at his heat map.
You'd imagine Parrish is back soon. That's going to push someone.
Well, Parrish is... the interesting one because, like, you'd think he'd be playing VFL and whatnot. I'm not sure if he did on the weekend.
No, he wouldn't. I went and watched him at Frankston the week before, and he was good, but you could tell he's being eased in. So I'm imagining two to three maybe VFL, then straight back in.
Yeah. So this is interesting. So Angus Clark, defensive 75%, offensive 25% is his heat map. Okay. So it looked like he was actually playing in defence. I don't think he was, though, unless he was playing on the wing.
Playing wing and running back.
Yeah. No, that generally seems the go. Just see what his last quarter was like. His last quarter was shit. So, yeah, not too much you can really do. But, yeah, we're really strapped for cash strapped for options, I should say, with the rookies. So there's not really much going on, but... we'll move on to upgrade targets for the round now.
Sid Draper gets more than 5 minutes?
So
he's dirt last round, and he's an absolute jet. Just not giving the time.
And last round, look, I had my trade was it was Max. Who was it? No, it was Riley Bice out, Sid Draper in.
Yeah,
I ended up changing it when Sid Draper was named sub to Isaac Keeler.
Yeah, I got Keeler as well.
Because I thought Keeler was playing defense. And then when I saw his quarter time score, I'm like, he's up forward, he's kicking snags. Heck yeah, let's go. And then he just died in the ass. Yeah.
He doesn't have a tank by the look of it.
Nah, he doesn't at all. he could even get dropped, and we got another dead rookie there.
Great, to get a month. I don't care.
Yeah, we just need something out of him. But Sid Draper, look, I don't know what's going on with Knicks. Maybe Sid Draper doesn't have the tank, but they can't just keep playing him sub every single freaking week. I know he's really quick off the burst and whatnot, and he's good in that, like, if you played him in the last quarter and everyone's three quarters of the way gassed.
Perfect.
Like, he looks amazing, but give him a crack, honestly.
Yeah, he's every full game he's played, he's been, like, deep forward and nowhere near it.
Yeah, and that's the frustrating thing. But the way the Crows are going, like they dismantled Sydney, I don't think they're going to be going, yep, Sid, you're having a full game this week.
Yeah, and with Crouch, yeah, there's more to come back in, isn't there?
Yeah, correct. So it could be a next year proposition. It's annoying when we've said that like three times in the last three potties, is next season propositions, look at them next season. Like Kitty Coleman's probably going to end up being a look at them next season one.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. No, I like the way you think, though. I like the way you think, because definitely was on my radar last round until he got made sub. So
I watched Alex Taru on the weekend, and I think he won't be too far off.
Yeah, off a debut?
Yeah. I know he's a couple of weeks off the bubble, but, you know, taking intercept marks, going to score okay.
Plays. Well, we've also got some mid-season draftees as well. I'll just quickly pluck one from obscurity here. Was it McCarthy?
Yeah.
Just try and find where he is. Yeah, so McCarthy for West Coast got 19 kicks, 7 handballs, 5 marks, 1 tackle, a few rebound, well, 4 rebound 50. So he started off pretty solid. It should be noted that Clay Hall got 30 disposals and 2 goals, 1. But he's not going to get back in that team, which is frustrating as well, to say the least. But yeah, there's a few out there that should get a debut. And this is, honestly, if some of them get on the bubble, like they play this week, next week, they're on the bubble, 99K most of them will be.
You
perfect
have to
downgrade. Get them, right? Oh, yeah, perfect downgrade option if you can maximise. The only problem is how many rookies are fat enough?
Yeah, you make 40 grand off someone.
Yeah, so it's a bit like that. This year's been shit. Strategy... If you go on budget, like the budget guys that are popping off, like Raoul, prime example, if he can maintain his, which we'll talk about shortly, those are the types of guys that are like low 500s to between low 400 and low 500K. If you can target them rather than saving up, screaming out, if you don't have a Cherry, spending 700K on Cherry or 650 or whatever it is for Bond, you can really save a few hundred grand here and there, and then all of a sudden you've gone full primo, albeit a low budget full primo.
Yeah, Teemu primo.
I like that term, Teemu primo. That's going to be the snippet for the title for the potty this week, Teemu primo.
Anyway. I think people are going to blow up their teams if they just keep getting, you know, Bont and Cherry and all that. There's just not the money there to do it.
No, there's nothing. There's nothing at all. I completely agree. So we'll go into our upgrade targets, and we're focusing on, well, there's really only one guy that's the high 500K range, but we have to discuss him. That's in the midfield. But all the rest are either 550-ish K or below. So we'll start off with defense. Now, I find this absolutely wild that both Lachie Ashe and Lachie Whitfield are 553K.
Yeah.
And they're averaging 110 plus. They are the second and third best averaging defenders, and you can get them under 600K.
Who's number one at the moment?
I think it was Jack Sinclair.
Yeah, okay.
Let me quickly double check that just so then I don't have people storming my Twitter. Yeah, average. So 115.9, Jack Sinclair. 113.8, Lachie Whitfield. 111.4, Lachie Ashe. 108.7, Dane Zorko. And then coming in fifth, 108, is Nick Martin. He just pips Jordan Clark. So, like, that's some pretty hectic stuff there. And you can get two of the three top-performing defenders for 553K. So I reckon that's absolutely fucking bonkers. I think Lachie Ashe is, like, 130-odd break-even as well. So you can even hold a week if you wanted to.
Drop a bit of cash.
Or cash for Ash. Oh, no, he's 108, so he'll probably stay about the same.
What's Nathaira at? He's a gun.
He is at... So he's 507K. We're really jumping ahead. So he's 507K. He's break-even 77. he's been a consistent scorer as well. Like,
I think he's one of the best to watch in the league from a watching point of view.
So, yeah, like, precisely. And he's had four scores under 100. They have been 96, 99, 97, and then the most recent one, which you wouldn't have expected, was the 63 against West Coast Eagles.
Yeah.
So that's why his price has dropped. He's actually lost 36K, 37K.
I got on last week.
Oh, you would have been laughing. Yeah, so no, I like the Nasiah Wanganeen-Miller call there. The other one we've got, Connor Rosie, 531K, 104.9 average. He's got the 131 break-even. That's where I got that break-even from. He's in 29.3% of teams, so just over a quarter of the comp. He's finally got that defender status. He's a fucking jet. And he's got a real tasty run over the next four games. And if he keeps playing, you know what? It doesn't even matter if he keeps playing halfback or if he goes back to the midfield. He's just good in either position.
I think he struggles with the tag a little bit.
Do you think they tag him though, or Butters? Because Butters has been really struggling with the tag lately.
Yeah. So that's probably why he's playing off halfback. You know, get free to roam a little bit and good to go. I broke up with him about 6 weeks ago. So I'm not getting back.
Oh, no. Can relate there, although I got him in, but one of the ones that I broke up with, we'll talk about in a second. Want to just go for some sub 450K guys just to discuss. So one of them you already spoke about, which is Tom Stewart. You put him on the run sheet, and I was like, he's already on there.
Yep.
Feels disgusting talking about this because I started this prick this year.
Oh, you can't go back, I don't think.
No, I can't do it, but I've got a dilemma. But Tom Stewart's 430K, 103. He scored on the weekend. He's a 79.9 average. But as our listeners hear every week, it doesn't matter what their average is. It's what they score for you you bring them in is what matters most. And it can be like a real psychological thing. You're like, oh, I'm fucking bringing in some guy averaging 80. But it doesn't matter.
Because
if he gets 110 every week for you, then he's averaging 110 for you. But his break even is 56.
When you date a new girl, you ask them about their number, though, don't you?
Fuck, that got me.
You've
thrown me. 4.5% ownership as well with Stewart, so ultimate POD territory. But it's just...
He was back kicking on the weekend, so, you know, he's not scoring huge, but is he going to get attention anymore with Bailey Smith and Holmes running around?
I just think he's going to break down again.
Or he could be rested.
Yeah, honestly, either option. And that's why I'm like, if you're going to do it, buyer beware on this one.
But at 440, it's mitigated risk, isn't it?
430 even.
430 even, yeah.
Yeah. The other one I've got, now this one's a bit of a slight left field one. So it's Dan Houston. He's gone 437K. He got 108 on the weekend. He's in the same kind of camp as Stewart, 88.6. 79 break even, 6.6% owned. Now, the reason why I wanted to put him in is, like, I feel like he's about to go on a run for his new club.
Yeah.
And I feel like people think that the new bloke has to have, like, an immediate impact. And sometimes with systems and whatnot, you have to work out how you fit in it. And
he's gone.
Yeah. And I feel like he's starting to work that out now. Like, I think he had one pop-off game and then he's kind of just like, oh, I don't know where I stand. He realizes, I feel like this is a time where he realizes where he stands. They're utilizing him a bit. I feel like it's going to be a start of a run. If it's not, it's not. But if you're really strapped for cash and want to go for a little bit of a ride and see if you can pull off a massive run home, I feel like Dan Houston could be a bit of a gamble that might, it's got more upside than downside for me.
Yeah. Especially with Josh Dacos and finding their feet, new team.
He's
too good a player to be running around at 80. So is the time now? I guess we need to find that out, don't we?
Yeah, and look, the break-even's 79. So if he scrapes 100, he goes up a little bit. He'll probably go to the 450 range.
If you're bringing him in now, he's staying in, though.
Oh, yeah, well, this is the thing. It's the gamble that you're taking. Now, imagine saying Houston's a gamble last year.
Yeah. I had him all year. Fantastic.
Now, the reason why I also wanted to bring him up is because his history against his next opponent, Melbourne, is insanely good. So I know it was for Port Adelaide, but 2024, round 22, 111. Round 3, 2024, 105. Then round 10, 2023, 128.
Yeah, pretty good numbers.
Yeah, and then against the next opponent, St Kilda, he's got a really good record except for one game in 2024. And then he's got West Coast after that, who, again, he has a really good history against. So his next three opponents, he's got a really good history against, and I feel like that this could, yeah, be the start of that run.
And you're playing West Coast when it comes down to it as well.
Well, that's the week up. Like, that's in,
yeah,
not this week, not next week. Yeah. So, yeah, like 437K, if you want to take a punt, go for it. He's one I'm actually really considering on the budget end.
He's myself. A bit more durable than Tommy Stewart as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you know that he's got a massive ceiling too. So we'll move on to the midfielders. Now, this is the only guy over 550K in this run sheet, and that is Huge McCluggage, the human suitcase. 599K, 159 he got on the weekend. He's averaging 121.2. Is the highest averaging, I think he's the highest averaging midfielder, and like I think he's actually averaging more than Bont. I better double check that.
No, 129 to 122. 121.
Yeah, but Clug's played more games.
He's played 12, yeah, double.
Yeah, so, and he's got an 80 break even, 7.7% owned. Now, McCluggage has made our run sheet so many times this season, and we're going to keep saying it. Dude's a jet. He's scoring like a 650K bloke.
And no one's going to pick him.
Oh, we've had a fair few listen at like...
Oh, you're going to get some pipes, but yeah.
Yeah, like when... I think when we were talking about him, he was, I think, like 540 or so. Yeah, so... But like, last chance you're going to get him before he's over 600K. And my rule, listeners, is don't trade in anyone over 600K. So I know it's just scraping in with the 599, but yeah, look, he's an ultimate pod at the moment. Oh, 7.7%, not ultimate, but he's fucking good.
Yeah, it's good numbers.
Now, Nick Dacos, 535K, 116 he got last round, which I traded him in last round for the first time this season. And honestly, I traded him in thinking that he was going to cop the Finn McGuinness tag and I still was going to trade him in anyway. I saw McGuinness was sub, I fucking laughed. Yeah, 108.1 average, 96 break even. He's in 56.6% of teams. So if you're like me, this is the week you got to jump on, honestly. He's about to go on a mad run. I just feel it. And you'll want to be there for the ride because once he gets going, he gets fucking going.
You think he's upset someone at Champion Data because he seems to have the numbers but just not scoring?
Nah, I reckon they're going to...
Dust?
Ride his dick. They're going to ride his dick on all the way home. And he'll probably freaking snag a Brownlow somehow away from Bailey Smith. yeah, do you have Dacos or...?
I got Dacos at 580 about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I think.
Oh, yeah, okay. Was that for like the after his 170-odd game?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, there's his ceiling anyway. So then I'm kind of combining these two together. So Raoul and Anderson, I know they're different prices. Anderson's 594K, Raoul's 519K, but I feel like you need one of them, and it's budget and ceiling versus price for consistency.
Yeah.
So either way, they're both under 600K. It's just a matter of who fits the budget more. Raoul's floor is obviously much lower than Anderson's this season. Anderson, every year, he improves. He's had an old, and it's just, I feel like it's not every year he improves, it's every year his floor gets higher.
Yeah.
But his scoring potential stays the same. We're still waiting for that random Noah Anderson 180 game that he has. He's kind of like the new Josh Kelly.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I got on Rowley last week.
Well, that was a good move because, as we've said with Rowell,
he works his ass off.
He either spud scores or gets over 120.
Yeah. And you can tell within about 3 minutes of a game what he's going to do as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, but Rao's still good at 519K if you didn't jump on last week.
I got him in at flex, and I think he's a good flex player because if he gets a 50, he drops out, so be it. But, you know, you might get a 150 out of him or four in a row.
Yeah, fair. That's actually a very good point. Now, the next two are quite budget ones. They're under 500K, but this guy's an ultimate POD. That's still old man Steel Side Bottom at 496K. He got a big 146 last week. He's averaging 104.4, 48 break even, 1.3% of teams. Now, I wanted to highlight him because listen to this scoring of how he's gone this year, and you will think that he's like a 600K guy. So round zero doesn't count, but really, he got a 68. Then he's gone 109, 107, 124, 113, 94, 134, 109. He's then had his spud game against Freo with the 42, which dropped him down in price, and then he's gone 102, 146.
He hasn't ballooned price-wise, has he?
No, he hasn't, and it's just because he's had that, and he started the season, mind you, at 406K. So he got really up to him. He got up to 541K, and then he had that spud game, and it's dropped him down, but now he's coming back up again. So he's got Melbourne, St Kilda, West Coast, Carlton in the next four.
It's a fairly nice run.
Then he's got Suns Frio, which is but then he's got Richmond, so good potential to pop off there. Then Brisbane, Hawthorn, Adelaide, Melbourne Hawthorne, to finish off the season.
He's already flogged, yeah.
So, like, mind you, he's got the last two he's done is 102, 146, which was Adelaide and Hawthorn, and he's got them in two of his last three games.
Yeah, I quite like it.
So he's, I don't know why. It's just, I usually don't condone trading in old fucks.
I get it.
But, like, you got Zorko popping off, which, mind you, Kitty Coleman going down for an extra 5 weeks helps Zorko's case. Oh,
great for Zorko.
Yeah, great for Zorko owners, especially, like, people were panicking and trading him out. If you held, good on you.
Can I tell you who I want stocks in life? Jasper Fletcher.
Oh, yeah, man, he's coming up with wood.
I've deliberated. I don't think you can do it, but so good to watch.
What about, like, we're not really a draft podcast, but draft, you'd be...
Oh, you'd eat him up, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, you'd be taking him on in draft. Keeper leagues, like, you'd be jumping on, so...
He'd be locked on, but, yeah, I'd have him in a heartbeat at Carlton.
Yeah. Oh, you guys need a winger.
Yeah.
That explains why. What was that?
All three of them, yeah.
Oh.
A bit of class. Someone that can actually use a ball.
That's fair. Play Ben Cambriale, goddammit. Not Lucas, the one that's already played. Play Ben.
I want Ben in.
Yeah, get Ben in. Jesus Christ, the superior one. The last midfielder we've got is Jai Caldwell, 441K, got a 123 last round. Who traded him in last round like me? Put your hands up. Thank you. 96.3 average, 21 break even. I told you to take the punt last week. It was worth it. Although I was shitting myself at halftime, got to be honest. I actually turned the game off, went away for a little bit, turned the game back on, and then all of a sudden I saw his third quarter. I was like, fuck.
He's not going to get tagged.
Nah, he won't. Zeret is the one that will always
And even get Nick tagged. Martin coming in now is probably going to get some attention if anyone can go with him. But, yeah, I really like Caldwell. At that price, you can't really go wrong, can you?
Nah, and this is the thing. You got to get those budget guys in that can be your M7s, your M8s. Usually we just say M8, but, fuck, they could even go up to M6, M7, M8 at this rate. Like, he's got that scoring potential to go be that 110 guy for the rest of the season. Now
I've got one for you.
Oh, here we go. This is what I want.
LDU. I know he's been average, but he tends to pop off after the bye every year. He's 507K and he's had a bye already.
Hang on a second. I just need to get Pato's comments because you sound an awful lot like him right now.
He's talking. Yeah.
Huh?
He's messaging me now. He's not really.
That during the day he actually said, oh, fuck, where's it gone? We were talking about shit in our group chat and he actually goes, LDU after, like, here we go. I'm like, I was actually looking at bringing TDK back in at R2 because I don't have Cherry.
Yep.
And then he goes, honestly, LDU after the bye last year went nuts. He's the one, I reckon, or Crips for before. Non-owners.
Yep.
So Crips is another one. LDU and Crips, two that could absolutely pop off. Crips is one I've been considering. I haven't really looked into LDU. I was looking into him a few weeks ago, actually, and I weighed up between LDU and Rosie, and I went Rosie, and Rosie sputtered that game. So, no, I don't mind that shout, and I feel like North Melbourne are going to be a bit more competitive.
They're going to start getting there.
Yeah, 100%. So, if you've got any forward line people, chuck them in after these two because I've only got two for the forward lines because most people's forward lines are kind of complete except if you're a Marich owner and you want to get rid of him. So, I'm going to sound like a broken record. Jeremy Cameron, to start with, we set him when he was like 420K. He's now 467K, 104 he scored last round. We told you he'd pop off. 84.7 average, 61 break even, 5.5% owned. His run home is juicy as fuck. Yeah. I know people were talking, and we spoke about Shannon Neal as well last week. I did say Jeremy Cameron was the one. Most people's forward lines are full. He could also be the ultimate flex guy if your forward line is actually full.
Yeah.
He's got the Suns, Essendon, Brisbane, and Richmond in the next four.
He went full junk time, though. He wasn't doing much until he ruined Jinbi in the last 10 minutes of the game.
But that's all we need. We don't care.
Yeah.
Just
confirm the game, but he doesn't do it and finishes with a 55.
But again, if he's your flex guy.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So budget-wise, he's good, 467K. The other one I've got, which because Paddo's not here, I want to bring him up again because you can't ignore these stats. Paddo's real salty about this one because he's a Richmond fan. Liam Baker, 484K, got 127 on the weekend, 91.7 average, 86 break even, 3.1% owned. He's got four 100-plus scores in his last six games. He plays North Melbourne, Carlton and Collingwood in the next three. Can we actually ignore Liam Baker? I know he's kind of a Mr. Fix-It. He's a very superior Mr. Fix-It.
Good. Yeah. He doesn't get to play against West Coast.
Yeah, that's the shit thing.
Look, I don't mind him. He's good at his job, you know, gets plenty of a ball wherever he plays. So you could definitely look at it as a, you know, slightly cheaper option. But, you know, if you're going to get Horn Dog for a similar price later, you know he can pop off and there's going to be a few around later.
Even
Sam Darcy, you know, that price range when he's going to drop some cash in the first few weeks back.
Oh, that's a good point.
Chode Warner's going to drop some cash, but he hasn't been consistent. And Jackie McKay.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. Very good point.
I do like him as an option, but most teams are going to be pretty full in there.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. Now,
you've even got Riley Thillthorpe. I can't even say it.
Thillthorpe, yep. We call him Thrillthorpe because he puts the thrill in you.
You know, he's scoring, averaging 96 as a key forward. You don't pick him, but he's just a beast.
Yeah, good beard.
Great beard.
With your ruck line, so you said you don't have Cherry. Do you have Gorn, and then who else do you have?
Gorn, TDK, and Archer Reid at the moment.
Okay. So I had Gorn, and I traded TDK out when he was going to miss that period. And then I traded in Flynn, maximized Flynn's money. He's going this week. Now I'm thinking of bringing in either TDK, Nank, or Darcy Cameron.
It's such a hard pick.
TDK's got the consistency there. His form recently hasn't been great, but look, after he's been rested for...
He's the one that's going to pop out of any of them, you'd imagine.
Do you think Pitnett's going to play?
I bloody hope not. But Michael Voss is our coach, and you just can't guarantee it either way. That's why I thought I'd start him. And if Pitto comes in, he's a trade out. I didn't want to trade him in then out. But I think he's pretty safe, to be honest. Like, Pitonet played relatively well in the game, but he covered and he was straight back out.
Yeah.
And I think a positive is Harry Mackay actually looks quite competent in the ruck now. You know, he'll grab it out and take it and, you know, punch it. So Pitonet's a less likely chance to come in because he's shit around the ground, really.
Well, this is what I want to hear from a Carlton supporter. So I'm leaning more towards TDK in this instance. Now, we'll go to question time. So we've got a fair few. I've got some inboxes. I've got some comments. So we'll start with the inboxes. So I'll start with Zach. So he's asked, what's causing Matt Rowell's fluctuation in form and is he back to normal again? Look, I don't think Matt Rowell's ever actually had a consistent run of footy, to be honest. But I feel like...
He was getting a bit of attention in a couple of games, was he?
Yeah, he was. That Hawthorn game, they ended up switching over to Anderson, but then Anderson ended up breaking the tag after the third quarter.
I don't really like picking players that haven't successfully navigated tags in the past. Much more.
You brought him Rowell. So
at that price point, I don't mind it, but I'm not paying, you know, your 600 grand up front for LDU that hasn't taken tags that well in the past. At 400 or 500, you can do it.
So what I found is usually the breakout contenders have a really good either last five game stretch or last 10 game stretch.
Yep.
So are we going to start seeing that breakout kind of thing? Like every year, I feel like we're saying it's Rao's breakout year. He slowly makes progress, but like he hasn't made that insane jump that we thought he would. Do you think that he will go on that run? Because he can't score 100. He's either 120 or bust. Yep. Do you reckon he'll average like 110 for the rest of the year or 120?
I reckon he's going to come home well. You just see he's worked on his outside game a bit. He used to be contest or bust, but now he'll win a game. You know, he'll win the ball out on the wing and do some stuff. So he's working harder. He looks to be, you know, a bit fitter, and he's hungry for the ball. Like, you watch him work. He works as hard as anyone in the game. So I think it's just a matter of time and building up and learning the tag. I took the jump on him, and I've been apprehensive in the past. I did it confidently.
So the other thing I was thinking of with Raoul is that if, like, he's a tackling machine, right?
Yeah.
He should be able to work through a game by getting, like, if he's getting tagged and the opposition's getting the ball before him, he should just be able to tackle him.
Go to their best player and, yeah.
Yeah, so I agree. I reckon he'll come home well. So we've got, sorry, we've got Michael. And he's gone, will Sam Darcy be a top six forward in the second half of the season on his return?
I reckon after it, you're going to want to watch him for a couple of weeks. He's going to drop 60, 70 grand. You'd imagine he's going to take a bit of time to get confident with his knee again. You know, it was a fairly nasty accident. I think he's every chance, but, you know, key position player. He's going in the ruck. He's playing around the ground. He's a great mark, kicks goals.
Yeah.
You'd think you'd go at close to 100 coming home, maybe not the first few weeks.
Yeah, and look, with the forward line being a little bit pus, even with our primo starting to go shit, like Isaac Rankin losing a lot of midfield minutes because Sam Berry's in the team.
Yeah, go figure.
Yeah, who would have thought? I'd be keeping an eye on him, definitely, especially when the drop happens. Now, Nathan's inboxed. He's actually curious about our ranks. And also our remaining trades and upgrade position and our thoughts on Mrs. Caddy. So how's your current rank going again?
I think I'm about 4,000.
Yeah, so we're roughly the same.
Pretty close, yeah.
Remaining trades. Now, I've got to friggin' quickly look at mine without trading this week.
14, I think.
Is that without trading this week?
Yeah, I'm burning through them.
So I've got 15 if I don't trade this week.
Yeah.
And then upgrade position. So I think it's like I've got guys in my side that I need to trade out. Like I've got SDK. I've got Sam DeConing in there. And he pops out like a 90 or a 100 one week, and then he's like a 60 the next. And he hasn't really gone up in price. He's gone up and then gone down again. Like he's only made 21K for the season.
My bottom three would be Ashcroft, Long, and Lindsay at the moment.
So I'm just going to quickly put players on my field so then I can actually see what the flipping heck's going on. Oh, you know, it sucks taking Kitty Coleman off. went early on him, backfired hardcore. So I've got SDK, Ashcroft, Lindsay, Hewitt, Pedler, Keeler. Oh, hang on, wait, no. Sorry, I forgot to put Shea Bolton on the field. Hang on. I'll take Pedler off. So got... And I put Keeler on the field. So we got, okay, here we go. So we got Hewitt, Keeler, Lindsay, Ashcroft, DeConing, Sam DeConing.
You got a bit of work to do.
Yeah, I've also got 190K in the bank. So this is where I'm like, I'm in a position where I can do some stuff. I've been eyeing off Zach Butters. I've got the one extra trade that I knew though. So if I use that trade, I've taken one of those guys off the field. So we're kind of in the same position.
Yeah,
so... And thoughts on Nate Caddy, aka Mrs. Caddy?
I wouldn't be picking him in Supercoach, but gee, he's good to watch at footy.
So I've been saying that he needs to pull his finger out, and he's actually pulled his finger out since I've said he needs to pull his finger out.
He just reminds me of a young Charlie Kerner. Just bounces around and jumps on everyone and exciting.
Just keep him away from a basketball hoop. Is that how he injured himself? Was it a pull or?
Oh, I've heard a few rumours.
Yeah, okay. Just keep him off of everything in the preseason.
Yeah.
Now, he's also asked, side note, a lot of people going early on Tom McCarthy, worth the risk. I'm not condoning trading in anyone early anymore. I've been burnt, three times, I think, this season. Yeah, three times this season by now with Kitty Coleman going early on someone. So I took the risks, didn't really work out. Although in saying that, I took the risks on others and they've paid off. But yeah.
I went early on the box, which I've done many times in life as well, which would come back to haunt me a little bit. And Tommy Gross was similar. I don't mind it. If you need a warm body and he's playing at 99K, it's not such a big problem. And you're probably just trading out a problem for a maybe problem. So if you need to do it, do it.
Yeah. We'll go on to the Facebook comments. Now, bear with me while my internet decides it actually wants to do something.
Have you still got ADSL out there in Wallen?
No, it's we got NBN. It's just we've had the shires and weather, and I've noticed that the internet doesn't go well when it's raining, and we're in winter, so that's great.
Yeah.
So here we go. So question time on the Facebook comments. So Peter from Nerds for Life Supercoach, what a legend, goes, Sid, Draper, Pedler, and Clark actually considering a triple downgrade. Ignore rank for the rest of the season, upgrade late and win leagues. Do you reckon that's a good idea?
If you're going for leagues, I can't really see the issue with it. You know, it's always good to get one up each week if you're doing your trades, but if it's going to set you up and you've got some players in mind coming into it in a couple of weeks, go for it.
Can I just say this exchange on our Facebook comments is hilarious. So Bailey responds saying, do you have the bont? And then Peter goes, ha 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 ha, you think I have enough money to buy good players? I wish. Then Bailey like, yeah, same predicament here. So we got Jason says, can Prestia be an option or are the injuries always coming?
I wouldn't go near the meatball. He looked good in the VFL, looked good in the AFL, but he's 2 weeks away from a hammy.
Yeah, I can't condone it.
I actually thought they were going to try and get him to retire before the mid-season draft. That's what I heard.
Yeah, right. Hectic.
Yeah.
Oh, did not hear that. Usually we get another guy called James asking for tag watch, and we do that in this next segment. So we're not called the Supercoach co-captains for nothing. Every week we give you guys the VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. We'll also give tag options now. So basically the rundown is we pick go through each game, give our VC or C options for that game. Sometimes we can do a little bit of a POD pick and we just explain why. So we've got, for round 13, we've got Thursday night game, Western Bulldogs versus Hawthorn. And honestly, if you've got the bont, it's a freaking no-brainer to VC that motherfucker, and I wish I had him.
I'll be doing it, I think.
Now, I'm curious to see what Libba's record is against Hawthorn, because he's in a rare air of form, and oh my God.
Did he hurt himself?
It's hard. Did he?
I heard he did somewhere.
This week?
Might have been in a chat.
Oh, no, I hope not. But anyway, he's got a shit record. 80 points in 2024, 20 points in 2023, so he must have got injured, I reckon. 118 in 2022, so not the greatest of ones to look at, but he is in fucking good form, so maybe he can break through it. I don't know. Another one.
Yes, in my chat today, Libby injured at training if anyone has him. Shoulder.
Was it on the news?
Oh, that's what Nathaniel said.
Okay, Jesus Christ, I did not see that at all.
I haven't seen any more.
Let me just have a quick squeeze.
Could be Fab's fault.
What is it? Tom Liberatore. This is what we do. It's called live podcasting. Latest news for Tom Liberatore.
That's shit tattoos.
There's literally no update anywhere in the last 24 hours.
Okay.
So I hope they're full of shit. I honestly hope they're full of shit because I do not need this.
So he probably is.
anyone from Hawthorn tickle your fancy?
Don't think so. I don't think I have any, to be honest.
We do pick people that players that we don't have as well. Like I just said, Bont, I don't have him. I think it's a no-brainer though. Ed Richards is a bit of a left field one. It all depends on if Treloar's back. How long is that fucker out for?
Well, apparently he might be back as well. Probably the same thing that told me.
I think, Treloar's listed as a test.
Yeah.
And that was updated June 3rd.
I think it was today,
Yeah, today, so.
Yeah.
Looking at that, Libba's not on the list, thank God.
I wouldn't go Ed, but no reason apart from being a ranger and him being late for an interview with Carlton, and we didn't draft him because of it, apparently.
Oh, really?
A little Jesus bit of hatred Christ. There.
Yeah, fair. I'll go to Friday night game, Adelaide versus Brisbane Lions. I think the human suitcase is one to VC in this one, if you've got him.
Sure.
Shit, he could even be a C if you've got VC Bont and his Bont somehow doesn't go good.
Would you be VCing Dawson against Brizzy? Maybe, maybe not.
What's his history like? Let's have a quick squiz, because that's a fairly good shout. He is coming good.
He's playing well, yeah.
So his history is 60 in 2024.
That's a no.
Then it's 142 in 2024 and 120 in 2023.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. I'll stick to Bond, I think.
I find that funny because in the same year, he got his highest ever score against Brisbane and his lowest ever score against Brisbane.
A super coach, isn't it?
Lockie Neal. This guy's been the most frustrating fucking player to own ever.
I didn't want him at the start of the year, and everyone goes, oh, he's run so good, never, don't ever buy, do it, do it.
Well, this is the thing. So we're like, oh, my God, Brisbane's midfield run is ridiculously good. Then Bont went down, Butters went down. Then Brisbane didn't have to play opening round.
Yeah.
So they got their bye, got taken away from them and whatnot. And I'm like, okay, you have to have a Brisbane midfielder. And everyone's like, okay, it's either going to be Neil or Dunkley. Ends up being Hugh McCluggage.
Bugger, yeah.
Or even people going Will Ashcroft. You had a one in four chance. Everyone's gone three of the four, and the last one in four ends up being the one.
The one.
But yeah, no,
that's a game, isn't it?
Lockie Neal got 179 in 2024, but he also got a 79 in 2024.
There we go. Probably his highest and lowest of the year as well.
Well, the last one was actually the highest and lowest.
Oh, he went in
his
year.
Career, not for the year, for the career in the 1 year. Yeah, look, I'm more of a lean towards McCluggage in this one. Everyone else is a bit bipolar. I don't know. Well, Dane Zorko, actually. Zorko owners can rejoice. Maybe he's the guy. I don't know how Adelaide usually scores against halfbacks.
It's a pretty good game on paper, to be honest.
Yeah, look, it's third versus second.
In Adelaide against the Tigers.
Yeah.
Let's show what crows are made of. The crom.
The crom. Move on to Saturday. Oh, actually, we haven't been doing tags. Finn McGuinness, Hawthorn versus Bulldogs. Who does he tag? If he even freaking plays a full game.
Ed Redd, maybe. He's not going to.
I hope so.
He's not going to go with Bont.
Nah, no one can unless.
Maybe Treloar if he plays, but he's probably going to play half forward flank if he plays, isn't he?
Probably. And then Brisbane versus Adelaide. Is there going to be a tag in that one? Probably.
Barry might give a bit of attention to Dawson, but nothing major. Or Rankin, but he hasn't been firing.
No, he hasn't been playing up forward. So up in the midfield, he's been playing up forward. So anyway. Saturday is Richmond versus Sydney at the MCG. I don't really like anyone.
No, you got Chode Warner. That's about it.
Yeah, no, don't like anyone. Let's skip that one. Fuck that game. 4:15 p.m. the same day, Geelong versus Gold Coast at GMHBA Stadium, otherwise known as Giant Stadium because for some reason they win there and nowhere else. Bailey Smith, you gotta
have a look at him.
You gotta have a look at the Baz.
Yeah, imagine what he'd score if he didn't burn it.
What about Matt Rowell versus a club that's going hard after him?
Yeah, you'd think he'd put in, wouldn't you?
I think you're looking at a safe 120 plus in this game. But does it backfire and they tag the shit out of him?
Try and drive his value down a bit?
Yeah.
You're going to go after Anderson, surely.
I think they might go after Rowell, to be honest.
Actually, as a hard inside mid, they might. Yeah, Tom Atkins probably would go to Rowley, actually.
Yeah.
Can't wait for a 70.
I'll just see Anderson's scoring history against Geelong. Okay. So 2024, he got a 149, but they played at TIO Stadium.
I don't know what that is.
I think that might... Is that Alice Springs?
Yeah. No, that's... No.
I don't know. I don't know where that is.
Traeger Oval, isn't it? At Alice Springs, something like that.
I don't know. Anyway, so he wasn't even in Geelong and he wasn't at People First, so... Kind of just scrap that. Anyone else? Jeremy Cameron?
Nah.
Nah. Alrighty. Next game, 7:35 p.m. We've got the Giants taking on the Power at what fuck did they rename Manuka to? Corroboree Group Oval Manuka.
Say that three times quick.
Fucking hell. Yeah, right. Look, I don't particularly like too many in this game. I know Bedford will get slotted into that midfield and go straight to Butters and be a pest, or he might even go to Rosie.
Yeah, you're not picking anyone in that. Oh, yeah.
No, probably not. And I doubt that they're going to do a forward tag on Whitfield, though.
Just depends on his role, doesn't it?
Well, that's true, but Brent Daniels is coming back this round, so I don't think we're going to be seeing Lachie Whitfield playing half forward.
Can only hope. Actually,
they're only doing it because they weren't getting the Brent Daniels feeding the ball into the forward line. So I have a feeling that we might see Lachie Whitfield go half back. Joe Fonte might make his way out of the team.
While we're on GWS, who comes in for Kieran Briggs with his three-weeker?
So we were just discussing this before. Nick Madden was a bit too hot and cold in the VFL.
Yeah, so Lockie Keith.
I think it's going to be old man Keith, which is going to suck balls to watch. And especially when he plays against the shit ruck at Port. I reckon that's why they're going to do it.
Vicentini and Keith, yeah, it makes sense.
So Tom Green's been going steady, but not like, you know, not going too well. The one that I want to actually see go and explode in for a 170 is Lachie Ash. He's getting like 35 disposals a game.
He's good to watch. I do enjoy it. He's got a lovely beard as well.
Yeah, I know. Shepherd and boy. Gets a lot of 1-2s, I've found. He'll handball to someone, quickly dart around the opposition, then get it back.
Yeah, the old seagull.
Oh, yeah. We love that. We love that. But you'd think he'd be getting more points. But anyway. I'll go to Sunday's game then. So this is the big blockbuster one on Sunday at 3:20 p.m. at Hands Oval in Bunbury. The fuck. North Melbourne versus West Coast Eagles.
Hoping you time. Cherry a week off. Cherry's your vice captain option there. Or
no. Well, technically it could be a vice captain.
In a bye round, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true. Especially because we've got the Monday game.
You could even TDK into it, to be honest, if you wanted to.
That's the game at 7:20 p.m. on the Sunday. So we got Cherry for North. We got, do you reckon LDU could be a cheeky VC?
No.
Against West Coast?
Maybe, but I'd pick him.
Yeah, okay. I don't really like anyone from West Coast. 7:20 p.m. Carlton versus Essendon.
TDK could eat up Goldie.
Oh, fuck yeah. And this is part of the reason why I'm looking at bringing him in after that rest. It's at the G. Zach Merritt has not been... He's been too up and down. Honestly, for a VC, considering the players in the next game, for a VC, Paddy Cripps, I feel like, could explode.
He likes playing the Bombers.
Yeah, I feel like that you could get a 140 game out of Paddy Cripps finally.
He's due.
But Monday's game is also where the two big guns that I'm thinking of are. And that is Melbourne versus Collingwood on the Monday. And Gorn is your safe captain option. It seems like his floor is basically 110.
Which we can deal with.
Oh, yeah. Like last round, I couldn't even get shitty because like my vice captain was sputtered and Gorn got me 110. So, yeah, safety were there for Gorn at captain. But Nick Dacos, I feel like, is going to run rampant.
Ready to pop.
Yeah. It's either one of them for the option there, honestly.
I don't think I can do that, though.
Nah, you'd want to go Gorn safety.
If you've got Cherry, Gorn, TDK or someone else earlier, you're going to pick that all day over Dacos.
Oh, yeah.
Best game of the week.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Well, that's basically all we got time for. And you're not doing any of your own podcasts or anything, so it was a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
It's been good. You can catch us, our socials anyway. Mine's at DANEOSCCC on X, formerly known as Twitter. We've also got our Facebook page, Supercoach Co-Captains. You can find us on all of your podcasting streaming platforms like your Spotify's, your Google's and whatnot. So from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
I'm Pretend Pato.
And this is us signing
the fuck off.
That was actually so good.